चक्षुर्मिलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदामयं ददाति स्वपदन्तिकं वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतपरकमलं श्रीगुरुन् वैष्णवंश्च श्रीरूपं सकजातं सहगनरगनाथं वितं कंसजीवं सद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपरं सहगनललिता शिविशाखन्वितं च हे कृष्णकरुणासिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिकाकान्त राधाकान्त नमोऽस्तु ते तप्तकञ्चन गौराङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरि वृषभानुसुते देवि प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये पञ्चकल्पतृभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानन्द श्याद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासरि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे सो रीडिंग फ्रॉम भगवद गीता चैप्टर 9 टेक्स्ट 8 प्रकृतिं स्वाम् अवष्टव्य विश्वजामि पुनः पुनः भूतग्रामम् इमं कृत्स्नम् अवशं प्रकृतिर्वशात् Translation: The whole cosmic order is under me. Under my will it is automatically manifested again and again. And under my will it is annihilated at the end. So, Lord Krishna is giving the scientific answer to the origin of the universe. This is a big question. Scientists are trying to figure out what's the origin, how does the universe go? Is there some system or is it just by accident? So Krishna says here, no. He says, the whole cosmic order is under me. That includes all the planets, the stars, the suns, the moons, and it includes many universes. All the universes, all the cosmic order. That means everything that we can perceive, and even beyond that, because our eyes are limited, we cannot see so far away. Krishna says, it's all under me. In another place he says, Maya dakshina prakriti suyate sacharacharam hetunanena kaunteya jagati parivartate. The material energy is working under my direction, son of Kunti. And by its rule, the cosmic manifestation is being created and annihilated again and again. So, when we speak of nature, generally, the scientific-minded persons, they say, well, everything is going on by nature, a natural order. But what is nature? Nature is the energy of the Supreme. Just like a man, when he wants to expand and have some offspring, what does he do? He gets a stri. Stri means one who expands. So he gets a female and he expands through her. He cannot do it alone. And she cannot do it alone, but together. Now, of course, Vishnu, he can do it alone, but still he likes to engage his female counterpart. So for material creation, he expands himself in, first of all, the three gunas, or guna avatar. First guna avatar is Karno Dakshay Vishnu, Mahavishnu, who lies down in the causal ocean, which is also coming from him. And in that causal ocean, somewhere in the corner of the spiritual sky, he consorts with Yoga Nidra. Yoga Nidra means mystic slumber. That is one of his female consorts. So in this mood, he exhales, and from his exhalation, millions of universes are manifested. And then he expands again as the second guna avatar. In each universe, he spreads the water called Garbhodaka, and he lies down on that water and uses Sheshanaga as his resting place. Then he, from his navel, sprouts a golden lotus with a very long stem. And from this lotus flower, Lord Brahma takes his birth, first created being in the universe. Then Lord Brahma, he expands. He's called the progenitor, Prajapita. Then Vishnu expands a third time as Shirodakshay Vishnu within the universe, on the milk ocean, Svetadvipa. And he, from him come the different incarnations in the universe, and he is the, also expands as the super soul, Paramatma, in the heart of all living entities. We can see then that things are going on personally. There's no question of impersonal. First of all, the person, Krishna, expands as Vishnu. Then Vishnu, he casts his glance over the material energy. And by that casting of the glance, the living entities are impregnated within the material energy. Now, someone may say, but it seems as though the living entities are coming out of nature, out of matter. It seems like there's no father or any parents at all. So this is the logic Tandula Rishchikanyai, which means the logic of the scorpion's eggs in the rice. So the idea is that a scorpion goes, and a female scorpion lays eggs in the warm rice, and then she goes away. So the eggs remain there, and they gradually, they incubate, and then they produce little scorpions. So someone may look and say, oh, look, the scorpions are coming out of the rice. Rice is just matter. So it means life comes from matter. So, but this is not correct logic, because before the mother scorpion, she put the eggs in the rice. She laid her eggs there. Not that they came out accidentally or just by matter. So in the same way, the living entities are not products of material energy. I remember some years back, I was reading some Time magazine, and they were saying how when the Big Bang happened, when the explosion of the matter, then planets came and stars and everything. And also some of the little sparks that came out of the Big Bang, they became living entities. This is a very nice story. But it's difficult or impossible to prove it. And science is supposed to be provable. Otherwise, what makes it any different than anything else? Why do we hold science in such high esteem? Because science is supposed to be provable. You can verify it. So where's the verification that explosion of matter produced living entities? Can we do it again? Or did it only happen once? If it only happened once, then how can you be sure? You weren't there. There's no way to verify that it happened. You can't redo it. And it's not science. It's this fairy tale. And you can say Paul Bunyan also created everything. Or the green giant. You could make up any story. The green giant created everything. In fact, one scientist recently, a few years ago, he said that everything came from a grapefruit. The whole universe came out of a grapefruit. And when we get this bizarre, and anyone can say anything, and there's no way of proving it. That shows how ridiculous science is, because if someone can say, a scientist can say, put forward the theory that the source of the universe is a grapefruit, and no one can defeat it, then it shows there are some problems with this system. So, in the Vedic viewpoint, we take Krishna's words as being true. We take them verbatim, as it is. Now, because of our upbringing, it may be difficult. We don't have faith in that which we cannot perceive or we cannot touch or experience with our senses. But if we think about it carefully, there's many things that are beyond our conception, that beyond our reasoning, or beyond our ability to prove or disprove. Even something like the sun. We don't know when the sun began by our science. Modern science, 100, 200 years old. So how can they tell us when the sun began? It's nothing more than speculation. So Krishna says he's the source of the whole cosmic manifestation. It's all working under his direction. Not even a blade of grass moves without the will of the Lord. This is also confirmed by Lord Brahma in the Brahma Samhita. Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchidananda Vigraha Anadi Radya Govinda Sarvakarana Karna. He says that Krishna is the supreme controller and everything is, he's the cause of all causes. He's the cause of Brahma, he's the cause of Shiva, he's the cause of Vishnu, he's the cause of the material energy. Even Maya, she's also coming from him. He's the source of the material energy. All the elements are coming from him. So, this solves all the scientific dilemma. Where does it come from? Everything, the universe, it comes from Vishnu. Now, someone can say, how is it possible that such a big universe can come from a person? Is he gigantic? Yes, Mahavishnu is very big. But even Mahavishnu, he comes from Krishna. And Krishna is not so big. How can Krishna, who's not very big, be the source of such a gigantic person is Mahavishnu and then so many universes, it's not very difficult, because we can examine a little seed of a banyan tree. And inside this banyan tree, the potential is there for a gigantic tree inside the seed. Simply put the seed in the ground, and then it does, because there's a soul inside there, and there's a systematic planning for the development of the body that is arranged by nature, and the soul is there, so then the body grows. If there's no soul inside the seed, if you fry the seed, then it won't grow, because that means it will become uninhabitable for the living entity, for the Atma. If you can try it, fry some seeds and then put the seed in the ground, it won't grow. It's no longer a habitable place for a living entity to have his body. The body of the big banyan tree is a body for a living entity who wanted to have a body like that. Now, Krishna says here that the cosmic order is manifested and annihilated again and again. But this means it runs in cycles. Just like we see all living beings have six cycles they go through. Birth, growth, maintenance, reproduction, dwindling, and finally death. The universe also goes through that kind of a change. And then it is unmanifest again, and after some time it again becomes manifest. And the living entities are those living entities who are still in mundane consciousness. They have to go through these changes. This is part of the corrective process. Correction is that one gets tired of going through the difficulty of the universe being annihilated and then taking birth again. Just like one of the motivating factors for all of us to take up Krishna consciousness is that we're tired of this birth and death process. We're, at least theoretically, we're beginning to think about it. Well, this is quite an ordeal I have to go through, and I have to grow and get old and become diseased and die. And then I hear from the Vedas that I have to take birth again, maybe in a species other than human life. Well, this sounds quite troublesome. I wouldn't like to be a worm. Is there anyone who would like to have the body of a worm? No, because it's very troublesome. So part of the whole why is this cycle going on, to give us some impetus to get out of here where there is no birth and death, where there is no creation and annihilation. The Bhagavad Gita describes paras tasmat bhavonyo vyakta vyakta sanatana. Beyond the vyakta, vyakta means manifest, and avyakta means non-manifest. So beyond the manifest and the unmanifest of this material world, there is a place that's sanatana, eternal. That eternal abode, that's our home. That's where we're supposed to be. What happened? We forgot Krishna. Krishna bahir mukahana bhogavanchakare nikatastha mayatare japatiyatare. When the living entity forgets Krishna, then he's sent to the material world. This is a great opportunity that we have to hear Bhagavad Gita as it is, without any misunderstanding, and to understand it. It's not so difficult to understand. We simply have to hear, and even if we don't understand fully, we can ask questions, or we can simply go on hearing, and gradually it will be revealed to us. That is the nature of this transcendental science. Hearing. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam, Vishnu Parasevanam. Even if I don't understand right now, that's all right. If I go on with the process, then gradually it will all be revealed to me. The process of bhakti is so nice. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Tesham Satati Yuktanam Vajatam Priti Purvakam Tadami Puri Yogam Tam Yenamam Upriyantite. To those who are constantly devoted and worship me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. So, this is the science. Because Krishna knows everything. And Krishna is in the heart as super soul. Ishvara sarva bhutanam uridesha junatishtati pramayan sarva bhutanam yantra rudhani maya. And he's giving knowledge to anyone who is sincere. So if one engages in his devotional activities, devotional service, that's called